will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. James, in this declaration, proclaims what God had done for the Church of Christ, and he affirms it by taking Scripture, God's own word, to verify that which he has proclaimed. Scripture verifies Scripture and grants the greater persuasion of the truth as it is proclaimed. He refers to the prophecies concerning the promised Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in particular, mentions this one from the prophecy of Amos. This prophet did work around some 700 years before Christ. His lot fell in the days of Jeroboam, able monarch, but an idolatrous monarch. Judah prospered outwardly under his rule, but most solemn judgments were pronounced. And I understand that 50 years passed, the kingdom was destroyed, little thought of in its prosperity. How suddenly the Lord took away their glory and brought them down to ruin. The whole prophecy, though short, is mainly taken up with pronouncing God's judgments and exhorting to repentance. The God-sent servant that did the Lord's bidding, though despised and little thought of, yet honored of his God. His ministry also contained comfort and consolation for the little remnant saved by grace. In the closing verses of the prophecy, we have some most blessed words spoken concerning the intentions of Jehovah are towards his own. Though they, with others, must be subject outwardly to those judgments of God upon a wicked, idolatrous people, yet there was that brought before them, raised up to the eye of their faith, that which enabled them to look, to wait, and to watch upon the hand of their God, persuaded that yet he would appear for their relief. In that day, as we read that short chapter, what solemn things it contains as concerning the desolation of Judah. They cannot get beyond that which God would pronounce and bring upon a wicked people. But in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Precious gospel promise. No doubt, indeed, we are persuaded that James here, led of the Spirit, laid hold upon the word of God and pleaded. He had seen some fulfillment of the promise. He waited yet for further blessing. Does not this find out many today in Zion? Persuaded of the word of God, hoping in his promise, depending upon his word, encouraged, and yet waiting still for the further fulfillment of his word. I will plant them upon their land, and they shall be no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. It hath a literal rendering as concerning the return of the Jews unto their own land. Assuredly, as according to Scripture, the house of David, literally, shall return, and they shall abide in those mountains of Israel. But there's that which is contained here, a spiritual import, which to the church of God is most precious, most blessed. But trace the occasion when it must be pleaded before God. We read, certain men came down from Judah. Not told, assuredly it cannot be that they were sent of God. They came down from Judea. They brought into the early church matters which caused dissension. The apostle Paul, writing to the Galatians, clearly argues rite of circumcision. These matters concerned the early church. These things which were of the law. And as these matters plagued them, so they were brought to realize that it was of Satan, and that it but caused distress amongst believers. In every age, truth, as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ, is opposed. The wicked, even with that knowledge of Scripture, speak of the chosen vessels of mercy as they, this people, bless God for electing love. Friends, the wicked in every generation have suggested that this gives a license unto sin, that being freed from the law under grace, it makes a way for the flesh to take of those sinful fruits without restraint. Oh, far, far, far from this is the truth. Tender child of God is made very conscious of those inroads of evil, and tender before his God would shun the very approaches of sin. There are many today who bring such disrepute upon the name of religion because, in fact, they do take license from that they proclaim of liberty. And we have read, as no doubt many of you have, of the evils practiced by those various sects of religion. Under the very cloak of a profession of the name of Christ. But there are those who, on the other hand, found amongst the living family of God, are so legal in their spirit, so bound up with the law, that they, in effect, do, by their arguments, detract, solemnly detract, from the fullness of salvation in Christ Jesus. As they contend for those legal things, there's that forgetting of the blessedness of the gospel, the divinity of Christ, the holy, sacred humanity of our Lord, his work, his offices, all those blessings which are handed down to the Church of God through Christ's sufferings, his death, his resurrection and ascension into glory. Now this people, they came down from Judea. It appears that these two, Paul and Barnabas, had no small dissension and disputation with them. This preceded that going before these elders, these others at Jerusalem. Every effort was made to settle amicably these matters. But this was causing great distress in the Church of God. There were those that continued to assert that as the Gentiles were brought in under the precious truth of the gospel, they must be circumcised. And these two, graciously led of the Spirit of God, set forth the gospel truth and how this was not necessary, indeed was not to be taken as God's command under the preaching of the word. James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me." Now, Peter hath declared how that God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Many prophecies in the Old Testament time proclaim of the blessings which would yet come upon the Gentiles. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. Oh, what a foundation we have here. As it is written. He laid his arguments firmly, squarely, upon the word of God. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. We have traced somewhat of that low condition of the house of David. Friends, it was in ruins. None upon the throne. In servitude unto Rome. Oh, such was the desolation. The promise was to the house of David. And we read of Mary and of David, Joseph, the supposed father, in their poverty, in at Nazareth, the low state of the house of David. Promise was not concerning some literal kingdom, but concerning that spiritual kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ, raised up of God, of the house and lineage of David, one that should rule and reign in Zion. I will return. I will return. Oh, what precious words are these. I will return. Chastened sore was this people. Yet, that covenant stood sure. That covenant ordered in all things and sure. Of David's seed, one should be raised up as king. I will return. As we read these words, one does not alone think of Israel's return. we trace the blessedness of God's covenant mercy towards the house of David in raising up one from their midst. We trace that fallen creature, that body of sin and death. Oh, may we not say as concerning the elect of God, the house of David, and shall he not return? Friends, do we not see here couched the blessedness of that body raised incorruptible? That corruption to put on incorruption and to be raised of God to life, eternal life. I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David. Do we not also see blessedness as it concerns his coming again, after this time, after this? Friends, these things precede the Lord's blessings. He killeth ere he maketh alive. He layeth low ere he lifteth up. Israel dispersed throughout the nations of the earth because of her sin. Religion at such a low ebb, scarce any outward appearance of the truth in those days when, in the fullness of time, the Lord Jesus Christ came upon this earth. After this. And so, as it concerns the troubles that beset the Church of God, the dissensions that plague her in every age, the Lord hath reserved that blessing, a favour divine, after this. Is that walking in the wilderness, and is that bringing unto the promised land of Canaan? Is that weeping before there is that joy? Many a professed Christian speaks as if their profession commences upon the crest of the wave and continues thereon. But 'tis they that go down into the depths, they see the wonders of the Lord in the deep. It's after this. A time of sorrow. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. A woman in trouble hath sorrow. Pain, anguish, but she soon forgets the joy that a child is born, a living child. After this, Lord then here speaks not alone concerning his national people. He speaks as concerning the blessing he hath for his own in the revelation of Jesus Christ unto their souls. After this I will return. We do not read here anything that man does. Indeed, the whole verse speaks of that the Lord will do. His shells, his wills, they are certain, sure, and shall come to pass. There faileth not one word of all his good promise. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. that wretched, sinful body, plagued with sin, fallen creatures in Adam. Yet the Lord says, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David. We read concerning the house of Jacob, the solemn things pronounced against her because of her sins. The friends, Jacob was renamed Israel. I will return. A new name will I give thee. Brought up out of sorrow, out of that sad condition, and will now get rid of the plague of sin this side of the grave. But I trust there is that of the new nature, that which cleaves unto godliness, that which begs for holiness. I will build again the tabernacle of David. A new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. What comfort here lieth unto the church of God, and our enemies rise up against us. They speak with scorn concerning that little few that gather around the word of God. But yet, these are possessors of the promises of God. They, as they are given, belong unto them. Theirs for them to plead before their God. Did not James here then take the word of God, and in his bringing this matter for others, he lays his hope upon what God has said? After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David. We see the fulfillment of the word in the work of this person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed fulfillment of prophecy in the advent of our Lord. I will build again. Oh, I would seek to encourage those who feel desolate, destroyed by sin, who feel their very heart a waste, howling wilderness. They feel to walk in paths which cause them deep soul distress. Afar off they feel from God, his judgments abound. Their feet, as it were, in a net. So Job felt it, so David realized it, and others of those that have gone before are now in glory. Oh, it is as if he encompasses them in the net, and they cannot get out. The difficulties which they cannot solve. That is too great for them. Circumstances conspire together to bring them in helpless, guilty before their Maker. Secret sins revealed, which bring them low at the feet of Jesus. And I will return. It is as that little light shining into the darksome place. that cell. I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David. It is the tabernacle of David. It is God's promise that he shall revive that work in the midst of the years in wrath, remember, mercy. He will. Ne'er shall that soul be left, not left to utter despair, when you may come close to it. But I would venture to say this, on those occasions, truly brought near to despair, is that silent encouragement granted. Reaches the heart, keeps thee alive, still waiting, still watching for thy God. I will return. Or doth it resound into the ear? Ear of faith, as some comforting ray of hope in this desolate condition. I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. We speak of being found in that net. Man hath his snares. He sets them to beguile the unwary pilgrim, the wicked. They concoct those pits, camouflage their efforts, that they may unthinkingly, these may unthinkingly fall into those snares. But with God, his net. Oh, it is not to bring these to destruction, not to destroy them. This is not unto death, but for the glory of God. His net, as it encompasses them, they may feel like a fish. Oh, and you have seen perhaps even that the game and the birds of the air, they struggle to get out of those nets. You may feel just like that, or may look back even tonight and remember those seasons when you've acted in such a way till, as a horse broken in, you've been made to say, not my will, but thine be done. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David. It's now laid upon the foundation of free and sovereign grace. It cannot be said that there's any labour there of man's hands. 'Tis all of him. I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David. Friends, not only does God's net encompass his own in that way to restrain them, but, oh, blessed be God, it is as a hedge round about them to preserve them. May we not say, none can escape through the meshes of that net, that covenant, eternal love of God unto sinners. There's the foundation of the word before us. It is covenant love, covenant grace, covenant mercy, bound up time of distress. Yet the Lord saith, I will return. Those tears shall be wiped from the eyes, and that heart shall rejoice in their Lord and Saviour. Times of sorrow, times of joy. A set time the Lord hath for the healing of his own. I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, raising up of hope and enlivening within, quickening influence of the Spirit known and felt, the blessedness of coming again unto his holy temple. I will build again. Again. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. But in me is thine help. He tears, he mauls in as the young lion. But 'tis for this intent that they shall look again. That they shall come. They with weeping and with supplication, they shall return. Oh, friends, if man returns, we have the evidence that God hath looked again. Nothing else will affect it. No hand, no effort of man. It is alone of grace. I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. The wall of partition is removed. All that prevents true worship is taken away. The Lord Jesus Christ is revealed as the object of true and living faith. And the sinner clasps their Lord, the withered hand stretched forth at God's command. Oh, I lay, one says, my hand on that dear head of his. There confess my sin. I will return, says the Lord. Build again. Build again. Christ is the foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. And these stones laid of God upon that foundation, they shall be built. Friends, have been built in Christ, built upon him, their hopes dependent upon his grace. Then, as with Israel of old, the heathen, the nations around about, oh, they shall look on in amazement. They who have scorned, they who have derided, they shall now see what the God of Israel doth perform. All glory, all honor unto his great and holy name. And they shall fear, they shall tremble. I feel here couched is in that of his return. Yea, when he shall come again, and shall not Zion, oh, shall she not be raised up? They that are found in Christ, built upon him, oh, these shall be raised eternally to be with him forever and forever. I will set it up. I will set it up. Blessing as it concerns the church of the living God. The promise as it concerns every individual member of Christ's mystical body. Oh, that prophecy as it speaks of glory. Friends, that soul, the house of David, shall be set up in glory. 273. Etune Hollingside, 514. Pensive, doubting, fearful heart, hear what Christ the Saviour says. Every word should joy impart, change thy mourning into praise. Yes, he speaks and speaks to thee, may he help thee to believe. Then thou presently wilt see, thou hast little cause to grieve. Hymn 273. Thank you.
number 95.